You're smart. Your TV is smart. That's why you cut the cord. But you need one more thing.
Alaska's News Source. Watch live or when it's convenient for you, here's how.
Just search Alaska's News Source on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, or Android TV. Install and enjoy.
It's completely free and has everything you need in one spot.
Breaking news.
Statewide weather. In-depth investigations.
Start streaming Alaska's News Source live today.
Welcome to Alaska's Political Pipeline. We have a quick edition this week because just yesterday, this is Thursday, on Wednesday, we had our mayoral 2024 debate, and I am here not with my usual partner in crime, Rebecca Palshev, but with the producer of the debate, Tracy Sinclair. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm the stress of producing the debate, often very high for me. It's calmed down now that I can look back and we've finished our task.
That's good. And a couple of things for transparency's sake that our audience might be interested in. First of all, this was a debate that was taped, but it was as live. There was no stopping, right?
Right. We started at 1:31 and then 57 minutes and 56 seconds later, we were done. There were no commercial breaks. There were no pauses. There were no retakes. It was as live.
That's important for folks to know. Something else, because people do wonder about this, there was a different order of when people made opening statements, who asked questions of who first, who made the closing statements. That was not us deciding that. You had a system for that.
Yes, it was. And I really like to make them as random as possible. One of the things when I first started doing debates, we used to do pick for a random order for opening statements, and then we'd go reverse order, which in my mind meant the same person had the first and then the last word. And I didn't think that was fair. I wanted to really mix it up. So for three different things, we drew numbers for each of the candidates, and it was opening statements, the order in which they would ask each other questions, and then closing statements. In the end, it turned out that Mayor Bronson was the first speaker for opening statements and the final speaker for closing statements. But it was absolutely random, and it was just luck of the draw.
He drew number one the first time around, and he drew number four the last time around. Luck of the draw, as
yeah.
You say.
So, and it was interesting, you know, Chris Tuck had 2 fours. He was last in the first 2 draws. So it was as random as we could make it.
I saw it, and I even shook up the cups with the numbers. So it was random. Let's talk about the debate, just from the producer's chair to begin with. Anything jump out at you?
Well, from a producer standpoint, I don't actually hear the content during the course of the debate. I'm focused on who's speaking next, making sure everybody knows where we're going next, watching time, because, you know, we've got to be out at a certain time, and I can't suddenly say, sorry, we don't have time for your closing statement, because we ran out of time. So that's all my focus. But I did rewatch it back as it aired at 7 o'clock last night. And you guys had made a comment in Rebecca's article about how the topic of homelessness kept coming up. I had not heard that during the taping, but then when we played it back and I was actually listening, I was like, oh, they brought up homelessness again and again. And so it was really fascinating that this was the topic they kept coming back around to.
It clearly was the topic of the debate. It was directed as a first question, but then there were other questions, one question on crime, and then when they could each ask each other questions, it did come back up because I think it's fair to say that all of the candidates feel like that's what they get asked about. It's the most visual problem with the city, perhaps. Maybe some would argue that downtown development is equally visual, but it's something that people are asking the candidates about, they're asking the assembly about, they talk about with each other. And, you know, one of the things that was quite interesting to me as an observer and covering you know, the stories that we did following the debate and then talking about it today in the podcast, is that the mayor repeated, Mayor Bronson repeated something he has been saying consistently, which is, we wouldn't have had a problem this winter and we wouldn't have a problem this spring if only you had let me finish the big navigation center that I wanted to build. And he criticized, directly criticized Suzanne LaFrance. That was clearly his strategy in the debate, was to point out to her, point out to the audience that he blames her for many of the problems in the city. And he said to her very directly, and she did not respond directly, but he said to her very directly, you voted for my navigation center, and then you voted against it. Can you explain that? And her answer was a more generic answer, not engaging in that directly. It was only later in the debate when she came back and she said, you know, when something doesn't work, Mr. Mayor, you got to move on to another solution. And so that was her answer to that. Both Mr. Tuck and Mr. Pop also criticized current policies, although Mr. Tuck also has wanted a navigation center. There was a variety of promises to bring people together in ways that the current mayor hasn't. You know, that's easy to say, and we'll see what happens should someone replace him. But they did choose to come back to the issue of homelessness many times because I think the three challengers see that as a weak point for the incumbent.
Right. And one of the other things that Suzanne LaFrance did say when she got around to answering that was, I voted no that second time because the process wasn't followed. It wasn't that she was against it, but that it wasn't done right. Money was spent without being approved, I believe, through the assembly. And so that was her, you know, you didn't do it right. And so that's why we said no. So process versus, you know, whether we actually need it. I did also think it's interesting because several people have mentioned to me about this tent, basically, that we've bought. And the mayor mentioned yesterday that we're paying $5,000 a month to store this.
Yeah, that's a story that we had done months ago, because when the assembly finally killed the navigation center, it was the building material for this. It's a big, rigid tent. So it's not actually like a tent that you think of it, but it's, you know, it's the size of a football field, and it's got rigid supports, and it can be transported, though, in a much smaller fashion, because it's, you know, it's fabric. And it is being stored, since the municipality bought it, it's being stored in Tacoma, Washington, at a cost of $5,000 a month. That's a decision the mayor has made to keep storing it. I don't know whether anybody else wants to buy it, whether the builder will take it back, but the decision to keep paying that $5,000 a month is a decision that municipal leaders have made. And it is still there. It could still be put on a boat and brought up here and constructed, but it seems as if that boat has sailed.
Yes.
So, you know, it's interesting that, again, it has been a consistent theme from before the campaign began, that the mayor has said, I had a solution. Other people stopped me from solving this problem. And now we are where we are. So, you know, again, it's up to voters to see, to decide whether they think that's a good reason or not, and whether they blame the assembly, whether they blame Suzanne LaFrance, whether they blame the mayor, whether they blame both of them. And that is clearly something that Chris Tuck and Bill Popper are hoping for. They are both running as outsiders, in a sense. If you want more of the same, vote for these folks. You need someone, you know, Bill Popp several times repeated, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. I'm a guy who knows how to bring people together and will be able to solve things more easily that way. Chris Tuck also sells himself as a consensus builder from his time in the legislature and also previous experience in schools. And he's not a person who is caught up in this assembly mayor fuss that we've seen over the last couple of years. That's the way they are selling themselves. Suzanne LaFrance is, I'm the competent person who has experience in city government and can start from day one. The mayor is, now I've got things, I've got my administration fixed up. He said that at one point.
Right.
The question of what, I think Bill Popp said to him, you know, why should people believe it's going to be better in a second term? And he said, well, when I started, it was tough. I didn't come in with people who knew what they were doing necessarily. I didn't have a
I think it was Chris Tuck that asked him, because Bill Popp asked him, how do you define success?
That's right.
And Bill Popp mentioned at one point, that's the difference between running a city government and being in the military.
Right.
Because of the mayor's background.
Right. The mayor had said, my leadership is in the military. And Bill Popp said, well, that's not going to help you much, because this is a different animal. That's where we are with those kinds of positioning things. The mayor wants to say, I've learned my lessons, I've got a good administration now, and it's the assembly's fault. Suzanne LaFrance is saying, no, it's the mayor's fault for not having people who know what they're doing, for you not knowing what you're doing. I've been in the assembly, I know how to make the city work. And Mr. Tuck and Mr. Popp are, we're the outsiders, we're not part of this mess.
Right.
We know how to fix things. And particularly Mr. Popp as the independent, really nonpartisan guy, whereas Chris Tuck is a Democrat.
The one of the other things that was fascinating is the who they decided to, we gave them an opportunity to ask each other questions. And when we're doing the planning for these things, we're always trying to guess, like, oh, everybody is going to ask Mayor Bronson because he's the incumbent.
And that would be the tradition.
Right, that would be the assumption. That's not what happened during it. Do you have any idea, any insight on kind of their strategy on who they chose and for those questions?
This is just based on a lot of debates that I've covered in other places, but you generally make a decision, make a strategic decision. Who is the person who's the biggest threat to me? And that's who you ask your question of. So Suzanne LaFrance asked the mayor. The mayor asked Suzanne LaFrance. Bill Popp asked the mayor. Chris Tuck asked Suzanne LaFrance. The theory being, I would make an informed guess that he perceives that his first step is to beat her in the first round. And then he will take the mayor on in a runoff.
Because we're assuming there will be a runoff.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's what his assumption would be there. And so I have to take her down to get into that second slot so I can be in the runoff. That's the way I think they perceive it. And, you know, this is not a well-polled electorate before a mayoral race. This isn't, you know, governor of New York State where a lot of organizations are running polls. There have been a couple of smaller polls that I've seen, private polls, but I don't know what kind of weight to put in them. I suspect the candidates have some sense of how this will play out. You would think an incumbent mayor running as the only Republican would have a pretty good chance to be in a runoff or maybe win it outright. You would think, based on the markers that we've seen, which are endorsements, number of people donating to each of the campaigns and the amount of money raised, that Suzanne LaFrance is in a strong position. Bill Popp is certainly well known in the business community. He doesn't seem to have the name recognition of the other candidates. Chris Tuck seems well known. Chris Tuck, I've heard radio ads. So he's gone up on radio. I've seen TV ads for Suzanne LaFrance because she's got more money and she can do TV.
I've seen Bill Popp ads on digital platforms.
Yeah. And I haven't seen, have you seen a mayor ad?
I have not seen a Mayor Bronson ad, no.
That's not to say they aren't there, but right. I haven't seen them and you haven't seen them. So that's interesting. I would expect we're going to see that soon or it won't be of much value. So I think that's where we are in the race, which is a long way of saying I have no idea where we are in the race. But one other thing that I thought was very interesting. Maybe this is more the norm here. Again, I came from the lower 48 and covered a lot of presidential debates, senatorial debates, gubernatorial debates, mayoral debates. This was, as debates go, it was pretty calm. There was no great gotcha moment. There was no, the only memorable line was when Chris Tuck, talking about crime, called the city a hot mess.
Yep.
That was certainly a memorable little aside. But in terms of directing things at each other, nobody had a real zinger line that stood out to me. Anything stand out to you?
No, I think that, and I would say having been through a lot of debates up here as well, both at the municipal level going up to the governor and the senators, I think overall Alaskans are fairly polite in this. When the bell rings, they stop talking.
They really do. They respect that clock.
Chris Tuck in particular, I noticed yesterday, he heard that second bell and he went, I'm done. And he finished his sentence and he went on. A couple times Mike had to step in on some of the answers, particularly there were a couple with Mayor Bronson. But overall, I think Alaskans are just polite. And one of the things I like about this format is when I go into producing a debate like this, my whole goal is to really give the candidates time to talk so that people can actually hear what they have to say. So often on our newscasts, particularly when we have multiple candidates, we have time for 15 seconds from each candidate. And this way, you got, you know, long periods of time where you could hear them speak and you could hear their full answers. And I just think it's so valuable when we don't have those really contentious things. There were a couple times when people were called out and, you know, we gave them chances to respond. But I think that we get a lot of good information and you get to hear what each person thinks.
I think that's very important. I was speaking to someone not in the journalism business today. We were talking about the debate and how debates are covered, how politics is covered. And this person said to me that he was so tired of being told who did well, who did poorly, judgments of pundits. And he said, where can I just find out what these people think? And I said, duh, you can. I didn't say duh to him, but I thought, like, watch the debate. And that's what I said to him. I said, give yourself 57 minutes and 26 seconds or whatever. 56 seconds.
I know.
And watch the debate, because I think anyone who watches or listens to that debate will have a very good sense of where this race is, what's important to people, the leadership styles they bring, and it is unedited. They speak their mind within the time frame given. They didn't jump on each other and interrupt. You will understand where this race is, and you, Tracy, can tell our listeners where they can listen still today to the whole debate or watch it.
Oh, multiple places that you can listen to this debate. On this podcast, you can check out our in-depth Alaska podcast. We put the whole debate up there. You can check out the website, alaskasnewssource.com. The full debate is posted there. On our YouTube channel, you can check out the full debate on the YouTube channel. And again, we just posted the entire thing, put it right up as one whole chunk. Takes a little while to upload 57 minutes and 56 seconds, let me tell you. But they're all up there in their entirety. So a lot of places that people can watch and really get to hear what the candidates have to say.
And without the impact of our opinions or anyone's opinions, no panel of pundits following the debate, analyzing who did well. And
we're the closest they're going to get to that.
We're the closest, and we're not very close to that.
No, I do want to say one of the other questions we talk a lot about when we're deciding on questions is one of them was the lightning round questions. And they're used, in my opinion, to just kind of get to know the candidates a little bit better. And I was fascinated by their answers.
It was a nice moment.
Right. What is your favorite place in Anchorage? And we had Flat Top. Everybody likes higher elevations. It was Flat Top, Alyeska, the Chugach, and then the mayor as well, Flat Top, and or the bike system. And I'm a huge fan of the bike system as well. So it was really nice to hear And it was very close to the end. So it was also a nice way to kind of wrap things up. We got just that little bit of moment of everybody kind of brightened a little bit. This is what I like about it.
And one other last thing that I, since we're wrapping this up here, one of the questions from the viewers was about the importance of arts to our community. And it was a moment of agreement amongst all four of them. They all agreed that arts are vital, important, should be encouraged, and the city should support it.
Yes, I was kind of surprised at getting all four. It was, again, a different kind of question than what those of us that deal with politics a lot might have asked. So right. It was really great to hear from a viewer, and we all went, that's a good question. We like that.
You know, that's why we asked for questions, because we sometimes get caught up in the stories we cover, and that was something that we don't cover on a regular basis. Not that we don't cover arts, but how the city funds arts tends to fall down the list of issues that we would cover. And someone was concerned about it, and we asked about it on their behalf, and we got positive answers. So that was good.
Yeah, it was a good question.
All right. Well, that is it for The Political Pipeline this week. I do ask you, as always, to communicate with us. Let us know if you have topics you wish us to discuss. And please follow us, like us.
Subscribe.
Subscribe to us. Tell your friends that you love our podcast. Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Great thing to do.
Take care.